Robots Radio presents...
Rated M for Mature.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Download Weekly Gaming News, the show where we give you the DL on the latest in gaming every week in a small, bite-sized download. My name is Jameson.
And I am Brenna.
And if you can't tell, Brenna is recording remotely this week. She is house-sitting for a friend, and so she is joining us over the telephone. So, thanks, Brenna, for being a good sport.
Some great call. No, thanks for everyone else listening to this garble.
So, some announcements. We'll touch on all that later, but we'll go ahead and just dive on in. So, first up this week is the Final Fantasy VII PC port. It's been a major disaster. They rolled it out on Epic Games last week, and just people are plagued with all sorts of issues. They're charging a premium price tag of $70 for it, and it's breaking people's computers. There's just tons of stuttering. It's pretty much unplayable after a certain point, and people are furious. And so what some Redditor found out was that Square Enix had accidentally, I'm assuming, uploaded the debug build of the game rather than the final product, the production version of the game that they distribute to people. And so part of the reason that it's so running so poorly is it has all these debug tools and other things built into it that are too intensive for a lot of people's computers to run. And it's just goes to show, like, how does something like this happen? It's not good at all.
I don't understand, honestly, how someone could screw up that bad. Like, whoops, wrong file.
Yeah, I don't know either, and I don't know what they're doing to rectify the issue. I don't know if they've already pushed out the production, you know, swapped it out already. But yeah, you would need to basically, like, relist the whole game, because you can't just update that to fix it. Like, you have to, like, re-download it. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that, but it's pretty embarrassing for a company that big to blow it that much. And then also, you know, it's Epic Games launcher, you know, why do we expect anything less from Square Enix and Epic?
Yeah, I mean, we really shouldn't, but yeah, I don't understand. It goes through so many people. How in the world did no one notice that?
Do not know. Do not know. Moving right along, Ubisoft. The French are criticizing Ubisoft about their NFT system, Ubisoft Quartz. It's a workers union in Paris that said it's a French trade union, Soldati Informatique, which represents some workers at Ubisoft Paris, and they are calling it a useless, costly, ecologically mortifying technology.
I agree.
And yes. And it's being strongly criticized by players. It's being strongly criticized by the gaming industry. I mean, nothing can top. His name's blanking at the top of my head, but he's the game director slash head of the studio that did It Takes Two, which won Game of the Year. And he used a portion of his speech to get on his soapbox and, like, talk about how crappy these big companies are. And, you know, he even had said one point, like, on air, like, with Geoff Keighley next to him, you know, fuck NFTs, you know, fuck Ubisoft, fuck EA. It was pretty great. So it just, no one wants this, is ultimately what it comes down to.
Well, and I mean, clearly people are purchasing them. Which is even more boggling.
I don't know if people have purchased them in Ubisoft yet.
No, maybe not in Ubisoft, but in general, as a whole, people are purchasing NFTs and blockchain stuff.
Well, yeah, because it's something new. It's not being taxed, and it's an easy way to launder money or quickly trade cash. So that's what people are doing. That's what people are using it for. Same with crypto. You know, it's all being used for unsavory things. So, but unfortunately, it currently seems that Ubisoft is still fully committed to this. They're still trying to resolve a lot of internal issues, which go all the way back to, you know, some of the sexual harassment lawsuits. But Ubisoft, in the last year and a half since this all began, those that are within the company are calling it the Great Exodus and the Cut Artery. But they've lost that. They've lost something like almost 15% of their 20,000 employees in the last year and a half. Might even be more than that. It might be pushing near like 20%. Because the last 2 years, they've had a 12% attrition rate. And there's only one company that has a higher rate than that, and that's Activision Blizzard. But no surprise. So, you know, it has to do with so many different things. It's, you know, the workplace environment, you know, the abuse allegations, underpaid, overworked, and then, you know, the PR disasters of like the NFTs. And so it's just, you know, Ubisoft has lost their reputation, I feel like. Same with EA and same with Activision Blizzard. And there's just no coming back from that.
I mean, I don't think any major studio right now isn't on the hot seat. Like, even Bethesda's had some BS go down. And I mean, I guess maybe Rockstar Games. I really haven't heard anything about them. But as far as like every other major developer, everyone's got something under their belt at this point.
Yeah. Ubisoft has also lost a significant portion of their management teams for Far Cry 6 and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Far Cry 6 came out in October, and they've already lost 20% of their management team. And then Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which came last year, they've already lost almost 20% of their management team as well. So,
yowchie.
That is no bueno. But on the flip side, Ubisoft has announced that they will be releasing a Splinter Cell remake. This is OG, like, Splinter Cell back from 2002. Personally, Chaos Theory would have been a much better choice, but you know what? I'm here for it. It's being developed by Ubisoft Toronto. It's just starting, and it's going to be it's going to be built from the ground up, and they're going to be using the Snowdrop engine, which is being used for the pretty much literally every Ubisoft game at this point. But it was most commonly used for The Division. So, and they are stressing that it's going to be a remake and not a remaster.
Yeah, that's really awesome. They need something like that, but they have too many things going on, especially with Rainbow Six and everything else. I feel like they've got a million projects, and none of them are even close to being done. Like, they didn't stagger everything correctly.
Yeah. And I feel like the Splinter Cell remake announcement is, you know, it's something that people have been asking for a lot recently, especially with the announcement of the Splinter Cell TV show. And to me, it just seems kind of convenient timing for them to announce that while in the middle of these multiple PR crises, you know, throwing people a bone, giving them something they asked for to distract them is just kind of what it seems like to me.
Yeah, you got to keep a few things in your back pocket, right? Flashy, sure. Look at this.
Goblin brain. So Cyberpunk is back in the news again. And one of the game's director had an interview with Forbes, and he was talking about one of the points that came up is he was talking about how police chases aren't in the game. And so he stated that it was a combination of technical limitations of the engine and not having a release. So it was something that they eventually just gave up on, which is how we got to the current system, which teleports police to you and never has gangs chase you down outside of little clusters you can't provoke on the Mac. I mean, all in all honesty, like that whole first sentence is like Cyberpunk 2077. It was a combination of the technical limitations of the engine, not enough time to make it work before release. So it was something that they eventually just gave up on. That should be the Cyberpunk 2077 quote.
I mean, you had like 7+ years to do this. I don't understand.
There was just not enough time. Ran out of time. They've also settled one of their investor lawsuits. There's two currently. There's one in the U.S. and then there's one in Poland. And I'm not sure which lawsuit it was that got settled. I don't know if they merged. Oh, let's see. No, this is the Polish lawsuit. So they settled it for $1,850,000 US, which is pretty low.
I mean, and then it's, yeah, but it's one of two, so they're probably going to get slammed elsewhere.
Well, the issue with this is because they've paid out, they reached an agreement, it's paused the class action lawsuits here in the US. There was originally four that were consolidated into one. And so because of the settlement, they've been put on hold just because, you know, CD Projekt Red might be coming to the table. So we'll keep an eye and see what happens on that. But it's still not looking good.
With that payout, another payout coming, and with all the returns and everything, it seems like Cyberpunk is in a major negative at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to see what the numbers are like. Microsoft has done more odd partnerships. They've partnered with Riddell, who makes football equipment and football helmets. This is American football. And with Bauer, who makes hockey equipment, to run a contest for a Halo Riddell football helmet, which I mean is pretty cool. It's got like the golden visor on it too. And then to run another contest with Bauer for Halo goalie gear. So it's like knee pads that look like Master Chief's legs, like a chest guard that looks like his chest, and then like a helmet, like a, what is it? Mask. His mask looks like the Master Chief helmet, which is pretty cool in my opinion. But kind of weird part.
But yeah.
Yeah. Weird partnerships. So I feel like a lot of that you couldn't wear either if you were playing
in any sort of practice teams.
Yeah. I don't know if I would want to wear anything except the NHL or the hockey face mask, because they do that all the time with hockey players.
Right.
They do the custom face mask, but the developers behind Stalker 2 are also jumping on the NFT bandwagon and joining the metaverse, I guess, as well, by making like metahuman NPCs, and there'll be like item drops and stuff. Basically, they say that considering global trends, they want to offer a more immersive experience. So their answer is more money, you know, within the game, you know, like real life money. It's pretty dumb, but
sounds stupid.
The reaction was swift and very, very strong. And within less than 24 hours, they posted on their Twitter saying, "Dear Stalkers, we hear you. based on the feedback we received, we've made a decision to cancel anything NFT related in Stalker 2. The interests of our fans and players are the top priority for the team. We're making this game for you to enjoy, whatever the cost is. If you care, we care too.
Yeah. I honestly don't understand why companies are thinking that it's going to go well when repeatedly we, like, the community has complained about NFTs.
Yeah, and I think we're now getting to the point where so many companies have had so many issues and people are starting to hold them accountable or call them out, that companies are realizing they can't get away with it like they could a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Following the sale of Ready at Dawn to Oculus / Meta / Facebook, Sony has trademarked the Order 1886, which was developed by Ready at Dawn in 2015. It had kind of like a niche following. It wasn't like a super large game, but it definitely attracted a bunch of attention, and people have been wondering if they were ever going to do anything with it again. And so I think this just kind of goes to show that even though Ready at Dawn was sold, Sony doesn't want to let go of the IP. So maybe we will see something in the future like that, probably maybe, from another Sony studio.
I was going to say, or Sony just doesn't want to see something that they have started get ruined by whatever meta thing that is happening right now.
This is also very likely. Bungie's head of HR has stepped down after more than 14 years. And not really sure what is the reason behind it. And they haven't stated whether she is taking a different position within the company or she is leaving the company.
She said that they had deeply challenging interpersonal conflicts.
So I don't know. And I guess it has something to do with, the work culture, harassment, discrimination within Bungie. So I don't know.
I mean, I guess it was just probably, she kind of states in saying that it's one of the executives that she thought was their friend. But really, it resulted in his firing through sexual assault. And I mean, this isn't new in the companies. I'm just added to the list, like we were saying before, which is quite unfortunate. But I don't know where you're going to go that isn't kind of a boys club if you're trying to find another company.
Yeah, it's a real systemic issue in the gaming industry right now. The first North American video game union has been created. It is coming from studio Vodio Games, and management recognized the union there. Doesn't seem to have a union name, but it's just comprised of the employees of that company, and which includes 13 full-time employees and then 13 full-time employees and contract workers. So it's not a ton of people. It's a pretty small indie studio, but nevertheless, it's still a starting point. So hopefully we will start to see this taking place in more game studios, or just more people holding these game studios accountable. Unionization is not the answer, the government needs to step in and protect workers. Like, that's the point of a lot of these organizations, these agencies. That's like their whole job.
It's interesting. And we have labor laws, but they kind of, new technologies and things like that, careers just kind of need to be molded around labor laws. Or unions. I mean, this is the one time I feel like a union is probably necessary. The same way you're saying, keeping companies a little bit more in check, because nothing is happening right now. But it's good that indie companies are starting this band, because it's just going to pile on. I feel like all the indie companies are going to have it. It'll put pressure on the bigger companies, you know.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. EA is still scrambling with Battlefield 2042, and their latest decision was it's currently a limited time event, but they have pushed out 64 player battles instead of the 128 player battles, kind of going with what their internal testing showed and what the players are requesting, as it kind of brings more closer combat for everybody. And you know, the maps did definitely seem like just really large, really distant, and as much as I love the 128 player numbers, it would be nicer to see it a little bit like closer and more
action-packed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty action-packed, but there is definite like long lull times like in between combat if you spawn and you don't have someone to respawn on close by, and then there's all the bugs and glitches. So it's a start, yeah. But they got a lot of work to do. Second to lastly, Remedy confirms that Alan Wake 2 will remain third person, that they won't be changing some of the game's core gameplay fundamentals, which has made everybody very happy, as a lot of people were expecting the series to shift to first person, much like Resident Evil. What was the other game? I can't remember the other game. More of the other survival horror games all tend to be the first person. So
yeah,
people are happy about that.
I was just going to say, when Bethesda was doing Skyrim, they had that toggleable effect of third to first person, and which obviously went over very well with everyone. So at least having an option to be exactly how the game used to be and then give you more. So.
Yes, wholeheartedly agree. And then lastly, it's no surprise Roblox is being criticized again. It's been criticized off and on for a while, but recently there was People Make Games posted a video on YouTube about how Roblox is exploiting its user base, which is children. And we've talked about this before, and there's been lots of like discussions about this and legislation about, you know, loot boxes and in-game, you know, microtransactions. And so you know, the game is, its core audience is, you know, ages 9 to 15, maybe even younger. And so they think that they are like, there's not really any accountability on the system. So, you know, there's people being abused in the game by older people who are playing the game because it's, you know, ultimately children. And then on top of that, you know, they are making tons and tons of money off of in-game items that are just being purchased by children. And so, you know, we've seen before that there's a lot of issues with children having, you know, access to like app accounts and, you know, things like that in games, V-Bucks with Fortnite. And like FIFA Ultimate Team was another one. So I think there's just like all kinds of issues like that.
My one thing that I don't understand is you can lock this. Don't put your credit card account on any sort of console. If you want to get your kid V-Bucks or you want to get your kid Roblox, you just go buy a card.
Yeah.
And have it that way.
That's the way to do it. That is the way to do it. But that will do it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't seen it all over the socials yet, Spotify has added ratings. So go on to Spotify if you listen there. Drop us a rating. You can leave some stars, should be up at the top. It's rolled out for some people, not rolled out for everybody, but go and give it a check. Keep an eye on it. They are working on rolling it out worldwide as we speak. So I have already dropped a rating on there. I won't tell you what it was. You'll just have to
half a guess. Star.
And that'll do it. I had other news, but we'll talk about that another time. So we will see you all real soon. Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Ekovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing and adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already. Bye! Bye.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.